In the heart of a bustling megacity, amidst the chaos of business and the rush of everyday life, there stood an old apartment structure, painted in faded tones of cream and rust. It wasn't grand, nor did it stand out from the rest, but it had a commodity that caught the attention of anyone who looked up, a brace of sun decks facing each other across a narrow alley. On one side, vines of bougainvillea coiled around the iron rails, their grandiloquent flowers blooming with implied poetry. On the other, a rustic swing hung from the ceiling ray, swaying gently in the breath indeed when no bone sat on it. This was where the story began. Arif, a 27-time-old mastermind, had moved into the apartment on the left side just 3 weeks agone. After times of working for a big establishment, he'd taken a vault and started his own design plant. The new flat was nothing luxurious, but had one thing he could not repel, a deck that caught the golden hour just right. He called it his allowing spot, where sketches were born, coffee was belted, and silence was savored. But commodity differently soon started to draw his attention. From his deck, he could see into the deck across the alley, where a girl appeared every morning and evening. She was always barefoot, always in loose cotton clothes, and always carrying a red journal. Her hair was tied in a messy bun, and occasionally a pencil or paintbrush poked out from it. She no way looked up at him, not formally, though he frequently stole ganders while pretending to water shops or fix his sketch pad. He didn't know her name, but he'd started calling her Red Diary Girl in his head. She'd sit on the bottom, back resting against the rail, her head bent over the runners, writing as though the world depended on it. One morning, Arif dallied a little longer on his deck than usual. The sun was just rising, discovering orange light between the structures. He'd a mug of black coffee in his hand and was gaping blankly at a half, done design on his tablet when he saw her come out. Moment, she looked different. She had flowers in her hair, bitsy jasmine kids that matched the white of her cordy. Her bases tapped to a meter. He could ent here, and she twirled formally before settling down with her journal. The runners fluttered like bodies, and Arif set up himself smiling. On an impulse, he picked up his sketchbook and pencil and started drawing. Not the structure, not a design. Her. He captured the wind of her neck, the way the sun danced on her cheeks, the loose beaches of hair catching the breath. It was rough, but it felt alive. Days passed, and the strange one-sided connection grew stronger. Ara began setting his schedule around her deck visits. Morning coffee? Only after 8 a.m., when she came out with her journal. Evening tea? Time with the hour she returned from wherever she went, occasionally humming a tune, occasionally scribbling furiously. But one night, the pattern broke. It was raining, a wild August rain that soaked the megacity and turned the alley below into a swash. Arif stood on his deck, drenched, holding a marquee in one hand and a mug in the other, hoping to catch just a regard of her. And also, for the first time, she looked at him. He didn't anticipate it. Their eyes met like lightning, sudden, bright, and insolvable to ignore. Her lips parted slightly, surprised, but she didn't look down. Rather, she lifted her head and smiled. Ara's heart contended. He raised his mug slightly in greeting, doubtful what to do. She didn't gesture back. Rather, she opened her red journal, wrote commodity in large letters, tore the runner out, folded it into a paper airplane, and threw it across the alley. The wind nearly carried it down, but it landed near his bases. He picked it up with pulsing fritters and unfolded it. "Doent you suppose it's strange we've no way spoken?" He looked up. She was still smiling. Ara beamed and cried across the rain. "Perhaps we just did." The coming morning, a piece of string hung between the two sun decks. On it, cropped with rustic legs, were runners from a red journal. Runes, delineations, notes, and bitsy dispatches. He added some of his own. Sketches, quotations, a gouache of her with the jasmine flowers in her hair. And so began the love deck. They no way spoke audibly. Their voices were essay, paper, and art. They communicated through the hanging thread of moments, one deck to another, one twinkle to the coming. He learned her name from a note. "Hi, I'm Meher." "Arif," he replied the coming day. Meher was a freelance pen, an aspiring minstrel, obsessed with old Hindi songs and forgotten love letters. She frequently wrote about people she observed in coffee shops and on motorcars, contriving entire backstories for them. Arv learned that her parents lived in another megacity, that she abominated coriander, and that she cried every time she watched P.S. I love you. She learned that he loved silence, stress failure, and formally spent 3 hours watching shadows because they reminded him of his late forefather, who used to say, shadows carry unsaid effects. One night, Arv stayed up drawing a watercolor sketch of Meher, lit only by moonlight. It was a stylish work yet. He folded it neatly and hung it on the string with a note for the girl who makes indeed silence lyrical. The coming day, she transferred back a runner. Still, you're the lyric I know we want to stop reading. If silence is poetry. But neither of them dared to cross the alley. The deck was their world, small, sacred, and untouched by reality. Until a knock on R's door changed everything. It was Meher. Meher stood at the doorway in the same way she sat on her deck barefoot, wind-kissed, with her red journal gripped against her casket. Arv blinked, stunned, not knowing whether to speak or stay firm in that perfect second. She smiled nervously this time. I couldn't write this bone on paper, she said vocally. Arv stepped away, heart pounding. Come in. It was the first time they participated the same space beyond the resemblant world of Sundex. The room smelled of coffee and graphite, like rain, soaked ideas. She looked around, eyes resting on his sketches, numerous of which were of her. Her hoarse laugh, her quiet, her figure framed by the vines. You've been drawing me, she said. Arv jounced. You've been writing me. She walked to the wall where his artwork were projected and touched a piece gently. I couldn't stay behind the rails presently. That paper aeroplane was only meant to fly formally. They sat on the bottom, knees brushing. Meher opened her journal and handed it to him. Inside were runners about him. Fractions of a smile, conceits about his stillness, verses about the man she watched every morning but hadn't dared to hail. I used to write about non-natives, she said, until you stop being one. The megacity hummed outside. Their little world had cracked open. And yet, the quiet remained, not awkward but meaningful, like two musicians learning to play the same tune. They talked until night, shared secrets that no way made it onto the string. He told her about his failed engagement 3 times agone, how the silence subsequently had swallowed his passion. She told him about her family, who had passed down too youthful, and how she stopped writing for 2 times after that. You made me pick up the pen again, she rumored. You made me believe in color again, he replied. From that night on, they met both on and off the deck. The deck string still carried runes and art, but now it was accompanied by real exchanges, night chai, and participated playlists. They watched showers arrive, Diwali lights flitter, and downtime fog settle over the megacity each from the same swing, wrapped in one mask. The Sundex had begun it, but love now had a home in every corner of their hearts. But love, no matter how beautiful, always invites its test. One evening, as Meher read a passage from her journal to Arv, her phone buzzed. She lowered. It's a call from Delhi, she said. I've been shortlisted. For what? In transnational jotting occupancy in Paris. 3 months. The words crashed into the space like thunder. Arv managed a smile, but it was tight. That's amazing. I didn't suppose they'd pick me, she said, voice shaking. You earn it. But the silence that followed was loud. They both knew what it meant. 3 months was end ever, but it was long enough to shift commodity fragile. They had met in the liminal space between two Sundex, between solitariness and connection. Now they stood on the edge of a precipice. That night, Meher didn't shoot any paper on the string. The coming morning, Arv hung a note, go chase the sky. I'll stay where the shadows break. She left a week latterly. They did and say farewell. Only a final runner fluttered across the deck, Worf in his wind, a lyric still. If Sundex had flied, I'd ask the wind to carry you. But until also, let memory be our address. The months crawled. The deck felt empty. No horse laugh, no red journal, no scent of jasmine. He wrote her every day, but no way transferred the dispatches. He poured himself into designing a home, their home. Someday, also, 3 months latterly, on a night drenched in spring rain, he saw a figure standing across the alley, barefoot, wind-kissed, red journal in hand. She was back. He didn't stay. He didn't write. He didn't vacillate. He crossed the alley. Now, then comes the final part of the story. Arif contended down the stairs of his apartment, bases soaked from the rain, heart pounding against the pen of his casket. He crossed the alley in seconds, up the stairs to the familiar door. It opened before he knocked. Meher was standing there, cheeks wet, not from the rain. Her eyes searched his, like they hadn't seen him in a thousand continuances. He didn't say anything. She didn't, moreover. They simply fell into each other, arms belting around memory, stopgap, and 3 months of unsent passions. Inside her apartment, nothing had changed. The swing still swayed gently. The journal still lay on the shelf, but her presence felt newer, fuller, like she had returned not just from a trip, but from a metamorphosis. "I missed you every day," she rumored. "Also, why didn't you call?" Arif asked, his voice rough. "I was hysterical that you wouldn't be then presently, that the deck magic had faded." "It has ant," he said. "It no way will." She reached into her bag and pulled out an alternate journal, a blue bone. "This is yours," she said. "Every day in Paris, I wrote to you." Arif flipped through the runners. There were runes, sketches of Paris thoroughfares, fractions of their history, dreams of their future. She had taken him with her. Indeed, if only through essay. "I suppose," Meher said, "we're beyond Sundex now." Arif smiled. "Also, perhaps it's time we make our own." The coming many months were a beautiful blur. They moved into a small house together. Not grand, not perfect, but full of sun and a new deck. This time, they did Ent need a string. They had morning kisses, evening cuisine disasters, and night whispers. Meher published her first book of runes, named Love Balcony. It was devoted to a boy across the alley who sketched me into actuality. The book came a quiet sensation. Arif, inspired like no way ahead, designed a community library with reading Sundex, one of his most famed systems. On their marriage day, they didn't bespeak a feed or a resort. They married between two Sundex, under a cover of vines and paper aeroplanes, girdled by the veritably neighbors who had formerly watched their silent love story unfold. And on that day, Meher read audibly the lyric that had changed everything. "Duet, you suppose it's strange we've no way spoken?" Arif smiled and answered formally more. "Perhaps we just did." And so, the story of Love Balcony came a story told in megacity corners and rooftop whispers. A story where silence came words, distance came connection, and two hearts set up there ever by the space between two sun decks.